worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty.
To Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Monday. It is the 30th of August in the year 2004, and it rained buckets again today. I talked with a neighbor. Well, he's in a neighboring county, and I think he monitors the rain, and I think he said we've had 14 inches already this month. That was a few days ago, so we've probably had 15 or 16 inches of rain this month already, folks. So I hope you had a sunshiny day. I have a couple of announcements that I want to make, so if you would please get your pen in your hand. You might want to make some notes here. Jeff Bennett, many of you listen to Jeff Bennett, and I've had calls from several because Jeff had been doing his broadcast at midnight at 5.070 megahertz at WWCR, and 3 weeks ago he moved to a Saturday time slot, and he's now at 12.160 megahertz. He's on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening on the Internet, you can hear Jeff Bennett on WWFAR, which is where we're broadcasting from on the Internet, as well as WWCR at 5.070. Once again, Jeff Bennett is broadcasting on 12.160 megahertz on the shortwave, 6 p.m. Eastern Time for an hour. You can hear him for 2 hours on the Internet from 6 to 8 Eastern. And he said as of September 11th, he will be doing 2 hours on the shortwave also. Now, here's an interesting bit of news. Tomorrow morning, C-SPAN is going to be airing the Schiavo versus Jeb Bush, Governor Jeb Bush case. This is Supreme Court, State Supreme Court, I believe. Hearing, and so if you get C-SPAN, it's on either at 9 or 9:30. You better tune it in at 9 just to make sure that you get it on C-SPAN 2, and at 9 a.m. on the Internet on Gavel to Gavel, the oral arguments will be on live online. And so if you want to take that, Alan, are you with us?
Okay. Jackie?
Yeah.
I hate to bother you, but I'm hardly getting any volume from you at all.
Are you
could,
kidding me?
If you could crank it up, I'd appreciate
it. Okay, tell me if this is better, Nicholas.
I got to hang up to look at the meters, so.
All right, well, get back on if this doesn't improve.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, folks, let me start over there. If you want to listen online to the oral arguments on the Schiavo, Terry Schiavo's husband versus Governor Jeb Bush, the website is http://, write that down because there's no www. It is http://, W, F as in Francis, S as in Sam, Samuel, U, WFSU.org/. Once again, http://, WF as in Francis, S as in Sam, U.org/. And you can listen and see what going on with this ongoing case with Terry Schiavo. Our spiritual message tonight is one that we do often, and I guess evidently the volume is better because...
Jackie,
yes,
it's not much better. If you can give me more, I'd appreciate it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know either, because we had it up, and now it's back down, so...
Wow, is there any way that you can give me more volume there, Nicholas?
I can push you all the way to the limit here.
We don't want to over-modulate.
Yeah.
All right, well
I'm sitting up here.
I've got it cranked up. It's pretty loud in my head.
Okay, well, I'll do what I can here. Okay, I'll do what I can here.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Nicholas. That's Nicholas from WFAR, folks, the Internet. And our signal goes from WFAR over to WWCR, so it's important that we get the volume that we need for all of you to be able to hear us. And this sounds very loud to me in my headset. Our spiritual message this evening is from Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10. And Alan, I was going to ask you when I do this, if you would share with me and with our listeners what this means to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not. This is Paul, by the way, saying this, folks. You know that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Alan Watt, thanks for being with us again tonight.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, yeah.
Well, you sound nice and louder.
I do, eh? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like that. What does that passage there, does it say to you, Alan, or how do you hear that?
It says a few things.
Just one second. We've got a call here. Hello.
Hi, Jackie. Eleanor in Hamilton, Ontario, hearing you loud and clear. No problems whatsoever.
Oh, thank you, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Alan, that was nice to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, that Ephesians message brings in different hierarchies of powers. One is a sort of spiritual power. The other one is a temporal power, the rulers in the darkness, basically.
Yeah, the rulers of the darkness of this world.
So it's the rulers. Darkness, in that sense, always meant in secrecy. That's
uh-huh.
what it meant. And if you go into the age-old religion that's behind all religions, that encompasses the spiritual side of their reincarnation, as they believe, into the physical body, so they become the temporal rulers of the world. And as I say, as above, so below, in the high meaning of it in Masonry, it means bringing in the high spirit of their own ancestors into the perfected physical spirit of a genetic line.
And do
so
you,
that's what this is all about, really.
And do you think that Paul was saying that, or if Paul said this, but it's attributed to Paul in one of his letters?
Yeah.
If he was saying that, is it saying he knew what was happening? He knew what he understood what you just said?
I think he would have to be, because
he was a Pharisee.
He was a Pharisee. He'd been trained in the rabbinical schools.
Uh-huh.
And all rabbis know that reincarnation has been a main theme of Judaism from then up until the present day.
Well, you know, I didn't, from a lot of the stuff I've read, that there's really, they don't talk about an afterlife, at least to the lower classes, maybe, their lesser brethren, that they don't really have much part of their religious whatever with an afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lower orders are allowed to basically believe in whatever they wish to believe in. The higher orders, of course, have their own separate religion. Albert Pike said every religion has an exoteric and an esoteric group, basically.
Yeah.
And Judaism was no different.
For our listeners, just in case somebody doesn't differentiate esoteric meaning an inner secret meat or coded almost, I guess, isn't it, Alan?
It's initiated too.
Uh-huh.
Through higher degrees.
And exoteric being the outward ostensible meaning for the profane.
For the masses, yeah.
For the masses.
That's why the masses, or the Catholic Mass, is for the mass.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, Eusebius was one of the popes, and he wrote about it. He said when the doors are closed, after the masses have gone, we priests have our own secret religion.
There was a pope named Eusebius?
Yeah.
There was a historian in Constantine's time named Eusebius, too.
It was Eusebius then, too.
Uh-huh.
But no, it was written about, and Albert Pike, once again, he mentions him, too. So this has been written about and well understood all down through the ages. And it's interesting that everyone is basically worshipping what they think is the God that rules the world, but the God that rules the world is supposed to be Lucifer or Satan. Those who follow Satan or Satan's ways become the leaders of the world system, and that is the religion behind all of this. The Creator himself, even according to Judaism, created everything and basically sort of left some to go somewhere else. And they say in their own writings that no one can understand the mind of the Creator, and that ultimately the Creator himself would not return until the great work was completed.
And they're speaking about Lucifer, are they?
So who is running this world? Who is ruling this world in the meantime? Who is it that everyone's praying to?
Well, but when they say the Creator will return when the great work is done,
yeah,
they're referring to Lucifer?
They're referring to their own role, because some rabbis have published books about the role of Judaism, and they tell you in comparative religion studies that Judaism is an active religion working towards an end. And when you look at what the end is, they say it's to bring about the international brotherhood of man. That's primarily, and when that's completed, there will be no more function for Judaism as such. And if you ask Masons what their role is as Masons, they tell you it's to bring about the international brotherhood of man. If you ask the Sikhs of India, who are also a Masonically created group, what their function is to bring about the international brotherhood of man. So
well,
there are many
groups. Well, that's just one little cozy little club, isn't it, Alan?
Well, communism was the same under the guise of communism. Theosophy is exactly the same. And that book I mentioned to you that you couldn't find,
yeah,
is called Things to Come.
Yeah.
That was published by the Lucis Trust, which used to be the Lucifer Trust, New York, and it was by Foster Bailey, in fact.
Foster Bailey.
Foster.
Thank you. Well, that's why I couldn't find it.
And it was 1974 that was published.
And that's called Things to Come.
And it has the whole agenda here, including the need to give up private property, which Albert Pike, the Pope of Freemasonry, also said, and everyone must be born to fulfill a duty to the world state. It's all in there. And that the hierarchy, which they call the hidden hierarchy, started to emerge into public view in about 1970s.
1970s?
Uh-huh.
70?
So these are the bloodlines who, for the first time, have actually come into politics, and yet these are still the lesser of the hierarchy. And towards the time we're living in now, they claim that the real hierarchy, the top ones, will start to emerge for world government. So it's all underway, you know.
This Foster Bailey, you said that's Alice Bailey's brother?
I believe it was.
Well, wasn't she quite a bit older?
Well, you got to remember that this is a big family.
Okay.
And they also have connections with British royalty. Same as Annie Besant. Annie Besant. They're all ABs, you'll notice, you know.
Yeah. Alice Bailey, Annie
Alice
Besant.
Bailey, yeah. And again, that's part of their coding system.
And what does AB mean?
Well, AB is an altered being. And Abraham, he was an altered one too.
What does that mean, Alan?
It means that they're of a bloodline that has highly selected their mates, or had them selected for them, all down through the ages. And so they're inbred to an extent, because they do believe in the perfect reincarnation of the perfect spirit as above into the perfectly genetically interbred families as below here on Earth. And that's what they call the pure Aryan race. So it's interesting that this is being pushed big time by the UN. You'll find all the same terminology, the global village, all this kind of thing in that particular book.
The Lucis Trust is, I think, headquartered in the UN complex.
Yeah, I know it certainly was.
UN Plaza or something like that.
And they have a temple inside the UN.
Oh, yes.
The meditation room.
Yes.
Yeah, with a green stone. And interesting enough, the Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, uses a lot of the theosophical terminology in his speeches. So I'm sure he's a member.
And did you know that, I think this was a couple years ago, it came out in a newspaper article that an Israeli firm had bought the UN Plaza?
I didn't hear that one.
Yep, mm-hmm. A couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I checked it out because I thought, geez, they're really getting blatant. There's a couple of things that when we were talking about Paul, mentioning that he was a Pharisee, and I think I've mentioned this to our listeners, but I don't know if I had, that there are indications that he actually was beyond just a Pharisee, but that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. Because a listener from Canada called me one time and was reading to me from Jewish information, and it said that it was the custom that if somebody was going to be stoned, the person who initiated the stoning had to throw his cloak at the feet of a member of the Sanhedrin. And in the biblical story, when they were getting ready to stone Stephen, the cloak was thrown at Paul's feet. And, you know, that is indicative that that he was very probably a member of the Sanhedrin. And the Pharisees, I've got a thing that I, in fact, it's a statement that's in the book, a quote, where they, the Pharisees themselves had stated that if the lower classes, the lesser brethren, ever discovered that Jehovah was a phantom god, that they would lose all of their control and their whole plan would be down the tubes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, it wouldn't surprise me, because it is an active religion, as I say, working towards a definite agenda.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was I think it was Prime Minister Begin gave a speech on the role of Israel when he said that the world court would eventually be moved to Israel, and that would be its prime function, was to be the court of mankind.
what
they're... So some of them have been pretty honest about what they see as their goal.
Yes, and probably because they know that very, very few people will ever pay attention to what they say.
Yeah, or they'll think, well, you know, people are very odd that way. If they can actually hear something important being said in speeches, but dismiss it or and think the person, you know, has his own opinion type of thing. But when these guys get up and make these speeches, this is not their opinion. This is the agenda.
Their agenda.
Mm-hmm. So it's well documented, really, in all the different speeches when you go through them. And even the first Prime Minister of Israel gave the same speech that Begin later gave about the World Court being moved there. So it's, you know, it shouldn't surprise us that they would want that to go there.
You know what comes to my mind when we talk about this plan? The fact that there are so many, in fact, it has been said that there are 40 million Judeo-Christians today, or fundamentalists, they're calling themselves Christian Zionists, who are totally, absolutely, from their heart, pushing and supporting Israel, no matter what. Israel forever, Israel, we love you. You know, they shout this at their things.
Yeah.
And there's so many more of them than actually there are of the Jews. And it occurs to me that collective thought, because the power of the spoken word and the power of our thoughts, when they can get millions of people believing that deeply and that intensely, they're helping to bring it into the physical, Alan.
They are. As I say, it's a much older religion than people realize, because... this was taught to all the Greek aristocracy when they all studied. They were all sent to study in Egypt, and Pythagoras came back with that philosophy and the goal of the great work. And of course, he started up, like they all did, their own little schools, and these schools all led the youth to revolution. So this would be done through revolution, down through the ages. And it's still going on.
I'm sorry, Alan.
Yeah?
We had a call come in, and I turned the mic down so I wouldn't interrupt what you were saying. Alan and I spoke about this, folks. Our caller wanted to know if you were taking questions, and Alan asked if you have questions, if you would just make a note of them. And then we will have an evening where we will take your calls and Alan will take your questions. And so I missed what you said, Alan.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this is a much older religion than what people think. That it pre-existed Judaism. It ran through Babylon and Egypt. All the Greek aristocrats and philosophers studied in Egypt and then were sent out after their initiations to start up schools for youth. And each school that they set up became a place of admission, a monastery, you might say. And what they were taught was how to go out into the world and create revolution. So Egypt was teaching revolution to these initiates, like Pythagoras, for instance.
When you say revolutions, are you talking like the American Revolution, the Russian Revolution, all the revolutions of the
all
world?
All the revolutions, yeah.
And the Jews, of course, the elders of the Jews say we are behind all revolutions.
Well, maybe they claim that, but I think that's a bit
bold. But see, this is why it's so confusing, the word Jew. Because it makes you wonder, the ones who are referred to as the elders, they call themselves Jews. Is that to cause confusion? And they created this religion called Judaism or Talmudism to combine the people and use them. I mean, they admit that it's been the lesser brethren that have been used along with Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all the religions, actually,
all of them, yeah.
They've all been created to move this plan forward.
Yeah.
But my question is, would they be of that elite status that you're talking about and not of this, what we know as Jews today?
Well, again, according to Theosophy and Albert Pike of the Scottish Rite of Masonry, also called the Rite of Perfection, they both said that they, meaning going back to the days of Pythagoras, had been behind the creation of all major religions and revolutions.
It would be that international priesthood you told us about?
That's right. I mean, Adam Weishaupt, when he did not create the Illuminati. He was only one branch in his lifetime. And they got exposed, basically. And Weishaupt himself said that we must never go into lodges under a real name. He said, so that they adopted many different front names for their actual religion. Some of them in Germany were called the Bienen Order.
The what?
The Order of the Bees.
Bees, the Bee Order?
Yep, and that's why they had the beehive as their symbol. And you'll see George Washington, remember, 1776 is no coincidence for Weishaupt or Washington. And Washington has the beehive down in the corner of his famous painting. So he certainly said that he knew that Illuminati were in America, and I'm sure he definitely did know. But these guys have been behind all revolutions down through history. Napoleon Bonaparte, again, had a cloak made covered with golden bees that he took from a tomb in Egypt. You have the Mormons, another Masonic that created group. And, of course, they have on their flag there in Utah the beehive. So the beehive is very important to them. And you go all the way back to Plato, and he said, we shall create the major cities, which are artificial creations, to change the world, and these cities will be our beehives. So this goes on and on does through the ages.
That's what it reminds you. That's what a city reminds you of, too, isn't it?
It's artificial.
A bee, yes.
You see, there's either the natural system that was created here, or you have the artificial system. The natural system remains pretty static for thousands or millions of generations.
And what was the natural?
It was living with the nature as it was made or given to us. The artificial system is alteration through science for science's sake, stage by stage, to an ultimate goal where everything will be reordered. And in Masonry, they say that their job is to create that or perfect that which was left imperfect. And by that, they mean everything in the world, including basic man himself.
And that's why they want to do rural cleansing and get the people in the rural areas into their artificial cities.
Yeah, the human habitat areas of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what they are.
But that's so that they can control. You know, that was in the Old Testament there in the story of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, the people, they had no money because he created a depression.
Yeah.
And then they sold themselves and their children into slavery for the food that they had grown. And then it said that Joseph gathered up all the people from the country and brought them into the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Right there. We have to take a very short break here, and we'll be back right after it. Folks, stay with us, and please get your pen in your hand, and please take my address down if you would like to see this broadcast continue, because we're not making headway. We're not going further behind, but we've got a lot of catching up to do, and we need your help if we're going to do it. We'll be right back.
What in the world?
world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite to Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Catrew's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Yes, I want to thank you, folks, to those of you who are sponsoring this broadcast. Without you, it wouldn't be on. And with your continuous support, without it, it just wouldn't be here. And I know that we're going to have to bring new sponsors in order for this to happen. We got way behind when we were having such terrible problems with our reception, and I know that a lot of our listeners couldn't even hear the broadcast. So, but the beat goes on, and so does the hourly charge. And we're at least $7,000 in arrears on the airtime bill, and we really need to get it caught up. Or I may wind up getting a notification that the broadcast is off the air. This isn't a threat. I'm not making idle threats. And basically, as I've mentioned to you before, folks, the information that we bring you, I couldn't bring it to you if I didn't have the information. And with Alan here, for example, we have conversations off the air. And we bring this to you for your further awareness, and I hate to use this word, but enlightenment. It is a real word, I think, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that, in fact.
What? Okay, go ahead.
Well, in this particular book, Things to Come by the Theosophy Society, it says here on page 27, there's an international group of people trained in meditation who meet at the appointed time and place in three centers representing or associated with the three main spiritual focal points in the human family. There are five such points, as esoteric teaching has told us. The three most active now are New York, London, and Geneva, affecting the American continent, Britain, and the Commonwealth, and Europe, including Russia. At each of these three centers, or triangles, these groups meet and follow meditative ritual on world goodwill. Now, they explain world goodwill is forcing their will onto the public, who then basically copy these ideas that come into their head towards the divine plan and become international and so on. See, the purpose is to increase the flow of goodwill. This is called a form. They talk about creating a form of energy,
mm-hmm.
and actually pushing it on into this triangle of humanity, who then carry out their wishes. And they say that the people who attend the three main triangles are called the hierarchy, the hidden hierarchy. But later on in the book, on 31, page 31, it said, maintaining an unimpeded relationship with the hierarchy and the Christ, and they have a different definition of the Christ, of course. We consciously extend the alignment.
I'm sorry, of the what, Alan?
The Christ.
Oh, the Christ, okay.
Yeah. We consciously extend the alignment and identification outward into humanity to include all points of light. Remember George Bruce Sr. said 1,000 points of light?
Yes.
In the human family, where the energy of goodwill is active. Now, these NGO groups that have been created by the big philanthropic organizations, like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, Carnegie, and so on, sponsor and actually start up these NGOs each working towards complete internationalism with a new way of living for everyone. And they are called points of light.
1,000 points of light. And yeah. When they say the Christ, what do they mean?
The Christ is to be the ultimate ruler whose word is law, the king of the world. A king of the world who uses logic and science.
Okay, so they're not talking on a spiritual nature here.
Well, they claim their Christ will be of their spirit, you might say. But they're not talking about the one that people expect from a Christian point of view.
And that's why it's all so confusing.
Yes.
Well, when they say white, we should think black, shouldn't we?
Yes, correct.
And when they say light, we should think darkness, because everything they do is an absolute mirror reflection of what is spiritually so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a negative.
That's right. Yeah. They did also publish a book called The Reappearance of the Christ. And that also goes into their idea of what they mean by a Christ, you know.
And okay, because I'm going to ask it again, I guess. I was thinking as you were reading that they are using the creative energy, which is subjective. Is that it, or objective? It's neutral, in other words.
It's an active energy.
Yes, and it can be used for good,
mm-hmm.
and it can be used for evil.
Yeah, and again, going all the way back to Plato, who was a member of this mystery religion, and who was initiated into the high degrees in I think three main centers in ancient times, 2,500 years ago. He was initiated into the high degrees of a few temples in Egypt, and then he went on to India, and then he went somewhere else after that, three main centers. And he talks about the creation of energy forms, and that's the usual term that's used, is forms, that every thought can create a form.
Yeah.
And if an experienced mind uses certain techniques, they can create a form which will travel to its destination and literally impart its knowledge or its program, you might say, into a targeted recipient. So this is very, very real stuff to them.
Okay, and on the very opposite side of that,
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing as if we send a prayer of love or protection to somebody.
Yeah.
That thought form goes and actually literally can protect.
Yeah, that's right. So this has been used for thousands of years. And this mystery sect, you might call it, that's behind all the different sects, have been literally building humanity. That's what masonry means. Freemasonry is building society stage by stage, as you would build a temple. And as you, if you notice in the old cathedrals in Europe,
wow.
as they would often build a structure near the base of the temple, like scaffolding, once that completed its job, they would take that structure away. So once a previous program has completed its function, it's then destroyed, and they build again on top of the new. And of course, in Theosophy, which is probably one of the most open fronts of Freemasonry, they tell you that their job is to build society towards this tremendous future they have planned for us. And all of the higher members we see on TV, the politicians, use this particular terminology of Theosophy in nearly all of their speeches. So they are builders, the master builders, as they claim. But they want a world where science is merged with spirit, as they put it. And eventually they plan to rebuild mankind himself, or maybe itself, because I don't think in the future for the masses there'll be any real male or female, since they'll come out with the hermaphroditic worker.
Yeah.
To serve the hierarchy. There will be a hierarchy in this so-called classless world, strangely enough, you see. And I think probably the best reward a person in the future will get will be the right to have themselves cloned rather
the
than
right,
have offspring.
The right to have themselves cloned?
Yep, rather than have offspring. Yep. That's what the reward will be for serving the world masters.
I've had a question in my mind, and I don't know that you can answer it, but you can at least tell me what your thoughts are on it. Let's start from the beginning. Creation. They can not create anything. They can only use the stuff of creation.
Yeah, the material presence.
Yes. Okay. Now, if I have read that every cell has that spark of the Creator within it.
Mm-hmm.
Like every cell is in a sense a universe of its own.
Yeah.
And I've wondered if an individual is cloned, does that clone contain that same life energy of creation?
It would have the same energy, but it would not have the same exact personality unless they found a way to
implant a soul.
Implant a soul. They're already working towards the transference of human memory into computers as a partway stage of from transferring that memory into a duplicate, a clone. So they are working hard on that. And whenever they tell us they're working on something, I've always found that they've done it long ago.
Yeah.
So
false memories. In other words, just give us memories. Well, like you and I were talking about this once, and I thought about the movie that, what's his name, Schwarzenegger played in. I think it was called Replay. And it was in a future time. And he wanted to go on a vacation. So he went to some office someplace, sat in a chair, they put electrodes to his head, and he took a trip.
Yeah, Total Recall, I think.
Was it Total Recall? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, is that kind of what you're talking about?
That's a way of doing it. However, you see, this religion that's been here forever with the aristocracies inbreeding down through the ages in all countries with their own religion where they claim that their own predecessors in the family trees can be reincarnated into future, the same future family trees if they keep their bloodlines pure.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you go back to their origin, where they claim that they did not belong to this planet, it starts to make sense. They claim that they were cast out of wherever they came from and imprisoned here, basically. But they still retained more powers than the natives on this planet. And through their own will, being pure energy and light, through their own will, they literally manipulated matter by their mental powers alone, and created the first perfect human bodies that they could inhabit as perfect spirit. And so we're talking about some would say demons, some would say fallen angels, but we're talking about this particular group. That are still present, or their offspring are still present today in their own claims, and hence the reason for their secrecy, and hence also the reason for their tremendous inbreeding and genealogical searches before they can get married and so on. They have the saying in Masonry, as above, so below. So what they mean...
That's in the Bible too.
That's right. And so what they mean is the perfect spirits can come into the perfect bodies from the same family trees, all going all the way back to these first humans or humanoid creations that they created for themselves by their own willpower. So the difference being that the rest of the people here were native to the planet and are therefore commoners. We breed indiscriminately. Most people don't even know who their great-grandfather was or care. And we breed in common, but these guys kept their genealogical lines pure, going all the way back to the end of the of one of the ages. Supposedly it was the flood. The flood is registered in the same mystery religions in three main places. One was Mount Parnassus in Greece, and the elite of Greece went into the mountain there and supposedly survived the flood. We have Mount Ararat, which is riddled with tunnels, and there was another one, they think, in at the north, in the Himalayas, where the Brahmins, the northern Brahmins, claim that they survived the flood as well. Now, they all had one thing in common, and that is, again, perfect breeding down to their genealogies. The reason Noah was supposedly picked was for one reason alone, not because he was good or any different from anyone else, but because he was perfect in his generations, in his inbreeding. That was the only reason he survived. So we're looking at a eugenics program, basically.
Yeah.
And, of course, aristocracy is nothing but a eugenics program. We worship kings and queens today because of their genealogical inbreeding.
And you had said this before, and it had never occurred to me until you said it, that those rulers of those countries weren't even of the same nationality.
That's right.
And then I remembered, you know, Catherine the Great, she was from Germany,
yeah,
of Russia, but they were all inbred anyway.
Uh-huh. And when you go
but
back,
but she wasn't a Russian.
Yeah. I mean, the present British royal family have three main houses, all related, though, of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
That's of what?
The proper name is Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
Like Gotha, G-O-E-T?
G-O-T-H-A, I think it is.
Okay, G-O-T-H-A, okay.
And then, of course, they're related to that, the old Habsburgs and so on and so on. They're all interrelated. And literally, why are they worshipped any differently from anyone else? It's purely because of their bloodlines that they're there and being worshipped. So people are actually worshipping a eugenics program. When you think about it.
Well, yes, and I am so sorry because I know that I do this with all these questions. I just want to say this. There's probably 18 questions floating through my mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the one that is persisting, when you talk about what, you know, their take on this or their whatever, their story,
mm-hmm.
they were the, quote, fallen angels or whatever that were cast out,
yeah.
and the high spiritual beings, and they made, with their minds, the perfect human body for them to reside in.
Mm-hmm.
What about the rest of us, Alan?
Well, the rest of us consist of the original species, according
but
to
wait
them.
A minute, there had to be a start someplace.
What is the original
species?
Yep. Yeah. Well, they claim, again, that this creator that created everything and everything on these places and whom they rebelled against created mankind or humankind. And they claim, of course, we had very low intellect and so on. And I've noticed that in all Masonic writings and scientific writings on anthropology and anthropological studies and in economic studies, they all complain about stagnant civilizations, like tribal civilizations, American Indians, the Africans, and so on, people who lived the same way as their ancestors did and seemed to have no drive to go any further, meaning improvement. And so anything that was natural is anathema and an utter enemy to those who are working towards this great work of scientific recreation.
And they slaughter children without blinking an eye.
Absolutely.
And when the American Indian or whatever, what they call them, Native Americans now,
uh-huh.
whenever they shot an animal, killed an animal for their food, they
yeah.
thanked the soul of that animal
mm-hmm.
for giving them the nourishment.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is so much closer to what is real, Alan.
Yeah.
It's so much closer to what is real.
And you see, the allegories and the metaphors of Eden, which these guys gave us, by the way, have tremendous truths in them. When you can either be in paradise and accept it as it is, or if you leave paradise, you're on a one-way road of alteration to eventually obliteration of all that was.
You're talking about like the artificial cities and the artificial everything.
Yeah, and they are altering humankind now. All the sexual liberation and so on were definitely planned and pushed from the top. Nothing ever comes from the grassroots. And succeeds. Everything comes from the top down, and it's changes that they want made. And of course, our psyche is being changed all the time, until you have gender bending and so on. And we are ready for the first clones, or even hermaphroditic creations, to be put in front of our faces. And then there'll be a whole new bunch of laws to do with that and their rights and so on. And the public are ready now because they have been, they've lost their cultures. They've been deculturalized.
Deculturalized.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned that our cultures have always been given to us.
Yeah.
And this was a long time ago
mm-hmm.
when you were on, and suddenly it occurred to me because
yeah.
of the bias, man in the biosphere.
Yeah.
They literally claim that every living thing on this planet is equal. In other words,
mm-hmm.
the very lowest one-celled amoeba
yeah.
is equal to the human being.
Well, even for that, you have to go into the pharaohs of Egypt. Now, a pharaoh, again, was a spiritual incarnation of one of these initial rebels who were put here, and he was also the physical descendant of that same lineage that they created.
And they weren't actually Egyptians, right?
Oh, no, they weren't. They came into Egypt.
Right, exactly.
In fact, they had red and blonde hair and
right.
blue and green eyes. And
uh-huh.
they wore wigs. And they found them in the tombs.
Every time you say something, you open up 1,000 questions.
Yeah.
You know, red hair, blue,
mm-hmm.
green eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That is what people mostly refer to as the Nordic races or the Anglo-Saxon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that gets real confusing to me.
Uh-huh.
And we've only got about 5 minutes, so maybe...
Yeah, we'll stick on the same subject, though.
Yeah.
A pharaoh, and this goes to the biodiversity treaty, you'll see praises written... for the pharaoh by the high priest, and pharaoh ruled everything. He owned and ruled everything that flew above the earth, walked and crawled on the earth, and lived underneath the earth. And to the pharaoh, everything was his property, right
mm-hmm.
down to the smallest insects.
And we are an organism,
uh-huh.
as it was stated in that book that I've got, Cogs in the Wheel.
Yeah.
Like in Russia, they said in the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
people aren't born, organisms are born,
yeah.
and we turned them into people. And
mm-hmm.
what occurred to me, when you mentioned the culture, that they give us our culture,
yeah.
and then you go back to culturing organisms in a petri dish.
Yeah.
And then I just suddenly saw this whole planet, and all of us here are like, the planet is their huge petri dish,
exactly.
and they're culturing us.
Yeah. Yeah, they give us their culture. Again, Plato in the Republic talks about that the public have never, they can't remember their original culture, and yet they'll fight and die to retain what they think is their own, never knowing that it was actually given to them as an upgrade on the last one. And it will also be destroyed as they demolish the old temple and build the new. That's what they mean by that. They are the
and
builders.
The old temple is the old body and the new is the new that
it's
they
the
make?
The old body is the old culture, is the old system. And the new temple is the new structure, yeah,
and
of all of that.
And genetically engineering the body.
Uh-huh.
We did talk about this on another broadcast.
Yeah.
Through
mm-hmm.
the genetically modified food.
The food, the inoculations.
Yeah.
Through the releasing bacterium, nanotechnology. They can create viruses now which can act like little builders inside your body and alter any organ.
And it's almost like those viruses have a mind of their own or a thought process, isn't it?
They're programmed, yeah.
Yeah. They have a certain function.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Alan, will you come back with us tomorrow night?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, well, I got this down. I've written it down and I've circled it, red hair, green, and blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I would like if you would... This is, it is very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And very fascinating. I hope for... we have listeners that I'm sure are listening that have... were tuning in. Although we were on 3.210 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I heard from a listener, and he said that for the first time he can understand every word you're saying.
Oh, really? Eh?
Well, we're on 5070.
Yeah.
And the reception is a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like, so our longtime listeners are finally hearing you, the ones that didn't order the set of tapes that we made.
Mm-hmm.
And our new listeners, folks, you're going to get my address again in just a minute, so please keep your pen in your hand. But I want to give you Alan's, Alan.
Yeah.
I don't even have my book here. We'll do it tomorrow night.
Sure, yeah.
Let's remember to remind our listeners that there are two booklets that you've put together that can help them catch up to speed on a lot of stuff that we've already discussed.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us tonight. And we will be back tomorrow night with Alan Watt. And, Alan, thank you.
That is my pleasure.
Thank you very much. And, ladies and gentlemen, please remember that we need your help here. We need your support, your sponsorship. It is a listener-sponsored broadcast. And we need it now. Thank you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, Alan.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or...